Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Lamed Dalet. We're in Lamed Gimel Mid Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. I just a moment earlier previewed today's daf. We're going to go deep into the world of Tumah Tahara. And today's daf, as is yesterday's, as is tomorrow's, for three consecutive days, we are going to be really in the sugya of Tumah Tahara, and it all starts with a Mishnah. The Mishnah Lamed Gimel Mid Aleph that we saw yesterday talked about a bloodless shechita. So for reasons that it's hard to explain, but the animal died, and the animal died without any blood. So you shechted the animal, and the animal now has received a proper shechita, but without the benefit or just the normal effect of flow, of blood flow. And so first and foremost, the Mishnah says the shechita is a good shechita. You could make a number of arguments why the shechita should not be a good shechita. Those are all arguments, and they are they're all rejected. Every one of the arguments, right? The Rambam writes in his Perusha Mishnayos that it could speak to the idea that the animal is a sick animal, but again, the halacha is that the shechita is a good shechita and the animal is perfectly edible. And now, because there was no bleeding and there was no blood, so there is a fringe benefit, and that is the animal is now mukshu l'kabel tumah. The animal now, having not got saturated with any liquid, not its own blood nor any other liquid, so now the meat of such animal is totally impervious to tumah. We know that for any food to become tameh, so first and foremost, it has to receive hechsher. It has to come into contact with the seven liquids, and as we've said already numerous times, it has to be baratzo, and you have to want that liquid to be on the animal. And as a result of that, with this bloodless shechita, so because there was no blood on the meat of the animal, so therefore it is now considered it is now impervious to any kind of tumah tahara. So what you can do now is you can go with your dirty hands. I mean dirty. I'm not talking hygienic. I'm talking about tumah. You can go with your yadai mesuabos, which hands under normal circumstances are shein l'tumah, and as a result of that, what's going to end up happening is nothing. Nothing's going to happen. Meaning you could touch the meat all day with tumah, and the meat will not become tameh because it was never mukshul kabel tumah. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, and that was the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The question which we dealt with yesterday, and we're going to continue to deal with today, it's one singular question. Let's think this through. Let's say there was blood, and let's say the meat of the animal received hechsher. So what are we looking at right now? My hands, which are a sheni, the animal which is chulin, and the animal is mukshul kabel tumah, and I touch the animal, and so what? And so what? Nothing's going to happen. Because in the world of Tumah Tahara, when it's not Truman, it's not Kodesh, it's just Chulin, so Chulin does not become a Shlishi. Certainly doesn't become a Revi, but doesn't even become a Shlishi. We know that whenever there's any transmission of Tumah from one to another, from one item to another, from a person to a food, so we always know that it drops down a level. If your hands are a Sheni, and even if the meat is Mukshul HaKabel Tumah, the meat itself is not going to be affected whatsoever by you touching it. So basically, I don't understand, says the Gemara. So you're making such a big fuss about the fact that there was no blood and the meat is not mukshul l'kabel tumah. Even if there was blood and even if it was mukshul l'kabel tumah, your yadayim mesuabos are not going to affect the meat whatsoever. It's a really strong question. It is such a strong question that it takes the Gemara not one, not two, but three different days in Daf Yomi terminology, right? Three different days to try to answer up this question. Yesterday in the Gemara, we already gave a number of suggestions in terms of how to deal with the Mishnah. Maybe the meat in question. First of all, the Mishnah is talking about chulin; it's not talking about karban. How do I know that? There are numerous indicators that we went through yesterday's daf, in which we know that the meat, the animal in question, is chulin and not karban. Okay, four different proofs that we saw in yesterday's daf. So don't try and start by saying that maybe the animal in question is karban and not chulin. It's just not the case. It's talking about chulin. So if it's talking about chulin, so what do we care if the animal's mukshar or not mukshar? Good. Yesterday we tried to give an answer that maybe the animal that we purchased with was with Meister Sheni money, and we subscribed to a viewpoint that if you're buying something with Meister Sheni money, so it has a little bit of elevated kedusha, so that it would become susceptible to tumah. We tried to give that answer. The Gemara didn't love that answer. And we try to give a couple of other answers as well in the course of yesterday's daf. In the meantime, we are starting today on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and what we are going to be doing is starting a new path, a new answer to this question. So in the Gemara itself, we're going to be starting with the words Amar Rabbi Lazar. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. It's the last Rashi Tefas in the line. So Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yosha, Hacha B'chun Shanasu, Altaros HaKodesh Askinan, Udalo Karebi Yehoshua. So this is another proposal in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about Chulin, which is done Altaros HaKodesh, and we are not subscribing to Rabbi Yehoshua. That is a mouthful. So before we even start with the actual line itself, so let me just give a little bit of an introduction to our discussion for today. Okay, if you know you're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash and you're going to be working a lot with karbanos, so it's a big deal. And not only is it a big deal, but you're going to be, the sensitivity level of Tumah and Tahara is going to be super, super heightened, because Kodesh, we know, not only can become a Sheni, could also become a Shlishi, it also can become a Revi. So we know that Kodesh has such a high level of Kedusha and such a heightened sensitivity towards Tumah, so it's going to be a hard transition where you were living in your house, you really didn't care much about Tumah Tahara, and you're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash now, and what? And you're immediately going to be able to handle the rigors of Tumah Tahara in the Beis HaMikdash? Ah. So you know what you need? You need a little training. We all need a little bit of training. So in other words, you basically, like the boxer going into the fight, so he needs a lot of training in order to have that kind of stamina. So the person is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, could be a Kohen, could be not a Kohen, doesn't really matter. But in other words, he's gonna need that kind of training so that he understands the kinds of sensitivity to Tumah that is necessary when you're the Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore, what he does is as follows. He says that from this point forward, even though I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm just home, but any chulin that I eat is going to be eaten al taharas HaKodesh. I'm going to be treating it like Kodesh. Now, what you could just simply say is good, very good. But that doesn't mean it's actual Kodesh. In fact, it's not actually Kodesh. Kodesh is only in the Beis HaMikdash. However, what the Chachamim deliberate and debate is that we are going to give it some sort of Kodesh status. And so what we're going to be learning over the course of today's daf is, what kind of status does this have, Chulin Shanasu al Taharas HaKodesh? And even before we continue further in the Gemara, just one other word of introduction. This can be said about Kodesh, could also be said about Truma as well. Kohanim who know they're about to eat Truma, and so again, they want to go into preparation, they want to train, so to say, to eat Truma, so they can also go for a period of time where they're going to commit themselves to eating Chulin Hanasa al Taharas Truma. Which means basically that even though we're not eating Truma itself, but all Chulin that we're going to be eating over the course of the next, whatever, week, 2 weeks, whatever time they want to do this, is going to have Truma status. And again, what you could just simply say is, okay, that's good. So in other words, they're training. It's a simulation. But in other words, that chulin doesn't have any real status to it. And once again, what we're going to learn over the course of today's daf is that it does have a little bit of status to it. Now, to what degree status do these types of chulin have? Chulin shenas al taharas hakodesh, chulin shenas al taharas hatruma. So everything I said up until now was very easy, very digestible. From this point forward, it gets tricky. It's going to get complicated because the Tanaim are going to be arguing over what exactly are the degrees of Tumah Derabanan that were imposed on these kinds of foods. Even though it's all simulation, it's not real, meaning it's not real Kodesh, it's not real Truma, you're just simulating so that you're prepared, but nevertheless, the Chachamim said it does have a degree of Kedusha and a degree of Truma, and now it's just a question of to what degree. And this is where it gets complicated, admittedly. And today's daf, by the way, if I can encourage you to stay, it's a complicated daf. It's gonna be a little bit tricky in terms of sorting out all the different positions and trying to fit it now into the Mishnah. The goal of today is to say a pshat in our Mishnah. That's really the goal when all said and done. Meaning we're trying to understand why is it a problem if the animal did have blood and your daim are shnios, and so if you touch the animal, so what? And that's the question that we dealt with yesterday, we're dealing with again today, and we're going to use this kind of approach that it's really simulation chulin, that I'm simulating to be like either Truma or like Kodesh, and that's it's going to be an approach to our Mishnah, and all we're going to do today is just simply say a pshat in our Mishnah. Okay, and again, one more word of introduction before we continue. I know, a lot of intro today. When we're talking about animals, so animals are going to be chul shenasa tarsa kodesh. You can certainly simulate it like kodesh. You're not going to be able to simulate it like truma for a very simple reason. If you think about it, you can figure it out on your own. What is truma? Truma is olives, grapes, wine, wheat, right? According to the Rambam, all fruit, right? Midrabanan, vegetables. What's truma? It's a vegan diet. So in other words, so what is going to be simulated as truma? Only those things which are plants and vegetables, right? Fruits and vegetables. In other words, there's not going to be, and grains. There's not going to be anything which is animal which could be brought from truma. Truma is simply not animal. So when we're talking about an animal, we're really talking about chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh and not chulin shenasa ataras truma. Okay? That part's pretty clear. With all that said, that was already a lot, and now we can start the Gemara inside. We're on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Achav B'chun, Shanasa Atar Shaskinan, Udalok Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, so in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah is describing the blood l'shchita, and the diuk in the Mishnah is that had there been blood, it would be a problem. We're talking about chul and shenasa ataras hakodesh. We are simulating, we are pretending, but again, for the purposes of training, that this animal is going to be like kodesh. And now what? Well, right away it tells us that we can't subscribe to Rabbi Yoshua. Meaning this won't explain our Mishnah if we were to subscribe to Rabbi Yoshua. We haven't heard Rabbi Yoshua yet, so we don't know what he said yet, but we're going to learn right now. Detanya, so here we are going to be learning together a Mishnah. Right? Most of today's daf is revolving around this Mishnah. So if you could learn this Mishnah and memorize this Mishnah and really commit this Mishnah well and understand it well, so that this is more or less off today's daf. The Mishnah reads as follows. I know it says Detanya, but with a small adjustment, it should say Ditnan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, by the way, it's a Mishnah in Taharas. Right? Second parak, second Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ha'ochel ochel, rishon rishon, sheni sheni, shlishi shlishi. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a catchphrase here in English. It does a wonderful way of explaining Rabbi Eliezer. Well, it doesn't explain it, but it helps you remember it. And that is, you are what you eat. Okay, if you are now eating something which is a Rishon Latuma, you now are going to be a Rishon Latuma. Now, none of this works on a Doraisa level. On a Doraisa level, something which is a derivative, anything which is a Vlad Tuma, a Rishon, a Sheni, or Shlishi, cannot make a person Tameh. It simply does not work. Ochel is metame ochel, but ochel is not metame, neither Adam or Kalim. Okay, so on a Doraisa level, none of this is the case. However, on a Derabbanan level, what the Chachamim did is that they put in layers of prevention to get people in the state of mind of, I should be staying away from this. So in other words, if something is a Rishon L'tuma, so what would be a good preventative to get people to stay away from it? And the answer is, make the person Tameh if he goes ahead and he consumes this food which is Tameh. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, you are what you eat. If you ate a Rishon L'tuma, you're a Rishon. If you ate a Sheni L'tuma, you're a Sheni. And if you ate a Shlishi L'tuma, so you now are a Shlishi. Now,
when else we ever had something a Shlishi?
Right, so in other words, obviously, right, Dr. K already figured it out, we can't be talking about Chulin, because if we're talking about Chulin, it stops at Sheni. It doesn't go anywhere past Sheni. So over here, this Mishnah in Taharos is describing where we're treating our Chulin like either Kodesh or Truma. Now, at this point in time, I'm going to withhold which one we're talking about actually, either Kodesh or Truma. You do get kind of an indication that Truma, because we stopped at Shlishi. Like, why don't we go on to Revi? Okay. All this is good, but in other words, it is not Chulin, it's Chulin Shenasa Al Taras HaKodesh, or Chulin Shenasa Al Taras HaTruma. Obviously, because otherwise there would be no Shlishi to even to be talking about. Good. And so according to Rabbi Eliezer, the safeguards in implemented by the Chachamim is that if you ate a Rishon L'tumah, you're a Rishon. If you ate a Sheni L'tumah, you're a Sheni. And if you ate a Shlishi, you're a Shlishi. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ochel Ochel Rishon V'Sheni Sheni. According to Rabbi Yoshua, if you ate either a Rishon or a Sheni, you're a Sheni. If you ate a Shlishi, you're a Sheni L'Kodesh V'Ein Sheni L'Trumah. So you are now a Sheni vis-a-vis Kodesh, and I told you, this is where it's going to get now confusing. So you ate something which is a Shlishi L'Tumah. So now you are going to be a sheni vis-a-vis Kodesh, but you're not going to be a sheni vis-a-vis Truma, and we are talking about Chulin Shenasu Ataras Truma. We're talking about where the Chulin in question, it was prepared, simulated like Truma, so that I'm eating my Chulin with the mindset of, we're going to be treating it like Truma. Now, Ataras Truma in, Ataras Kodesh Lo. Now, over here, according to Rabbi Yoshua, these rules only apply for Truma, for simulated Truma, and not for simulated Kodesh. Because Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that Chulin that is done, Al Taharas HaKodesh, does not have a Shlishi degree of Tuma, period. Now, I hope you're wondering. If we're understanding everything here as clearly as we possibly can, so I hope you're wondering. According to Rabbi Yeshua now, the way the Gemara is presenting it, it's really strange, and I'll tell you what's strange. The Chachamim put in these safeguard measures so that people get trained in the arts of eating Truma and Kodesh. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, it sounds like according to Rabbi Eliezer, the safeguards just simply dictate that if you eat a Rishon, you're now Rishon, Sheni, Sheni, Shlishi, Shlishi, meaning the degree of Tuma that you ate is going to make you Tumi to that degree, and hopefully that will be a preventative. It will discourage you from coming to contact with any kind of Tuma. Masha Enkin, according to Rabbi Yoshua, these safeguards are put in for Chulin Shenasa Al Taharas HaTruma, but not for Chulin Shenasa Al Taharas HaKodesh. And if you think about it, you realize, well, that's weird. Meaning, which has more Kedusha? The answer is unequivocally Kodesh. Kodesh goes to a higher degree of Tuma. It could become a Revi. Kodesh is carbon. Kodesh can only be eaten in the base of Mikdash or in the environs of Yerushalayim. If you're talking about Truma, Truma can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Granted, you have to be in a state of Tahariti Truma, but if the Chachamim are ready to make safeguards regarding Truma, they're not ready to make safeguards regarding Kodesh, according to Rabbi Yoshua, that's really strange. It's really weird. Why should that be? But the simplest explanation that I saw is that, according to Rabbi Yoshua, in this understanding of Rabbi Yoshua, look, how many people are eating Truma? The answer is all Kohanim, every Kohen. So you have a Kohen, so if he's not currently eating Truma, he probably will be eating Truma. Bizmanenu, obviously not, but again, this is all Tuma Tahara. So, the lost art of Tuma Tahara, the lost halachas of Tuma Tahara. So not nowadays, but back in the day when we used to eat Kohen, when we used to eat Truma, all Kohanim would be eating Truma. So when we're talking about making rabbinic safeguards against and getting people prepared, if we're talking about Truma consumers, that's all the Kohanim. If we're talking about carbon consumers, that doesn't include the entire population of Kohanim. That is, whoever's currently working in the base of Mikdash, right, 2 weeks out of the year. So in other words, it's a smaller segment of the population. And so the way to understand Rabbi Yeshua, probably the best way to understand Rabbi Yeshua, is that the reason why the Chachamim are ready to make zeros regarding simulated Truma and not simulated Kodesh is because more people are going to be eating Truma, the entirety of the Kohen population, Masha Enkei, not by Kodesh. Okay, anyway. Understood. But in other words, but even that is not done by an entire population of people. Truma is eaten by the entire segment of the Kohanim, right? Men, women, children, avadim. Like they're all eating Truma. Anyway. Okay. Velukma, so fine. So Ataras HaKodesh Veleis Bushlishi. So now, so basically what do we have right now? Ape shot in our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah says that if the blood that came out of the meat and the meat now is Mokshel HaKabal Tuma, so now you wouldn't be able to eat it with your dirty hands. Your dirty hands meaning your hands which are sheni. Ah, because it is Chulin Shenasa Al Taharas HaKodesh. It has Kodesh properties to it, and so therefore it can become, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it can become a Shlishi. It can become a Revi. So therefore that's what we're learning together now in our Mishnah. But it's not going to work according to Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that these safeguards were only put in for Truma and not for Kodesh. Okay. V'lukman b'chulin shenasa al taharas Truma, Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we just simply suggest that the meat of our Mishnah in question is chulin shenasa al taharas Truma. Aren't we, now I already gave you the answer to this question, so hopefully you already know the answer to this question, but can't we say that our Mishnah is talking about where I'm simulating that this meat is going to be like Truma, and therefore our Mishnah can be going like Rabbi Yeshua's position? The Gemara says, Lo sakadacha diktani basar, di'ibi Truma basar mi'ika. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're not simulating meat as Truma. So as I explained already in my introduction, so what is going to be simulated like Truma? Anything that can become Truma. Right, wine, olives, wheat, barley. In other words, vegetable, not animal. You're not simulating an animal as truma because no animal is eaten as truma. So the Gemara says, "Okay, I hear you, but let's also consider alamai bekashim, chay bekashim iika." All right. So what are you simulating? You're simulating the eating over here like kodesh. Right, it's chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh. Go back to the Mishnah. Go back to yesterday's daf. What was the Mishnah describing? Hashochei behema chaya ve'of. One of the things included in the Mishnah is chaya. Now, chaya obviously is never brought as a karban. Why would I be simulating chaya like a karban? I'm never offering a chaya as a karban. I can't offer chaya as a karban. Now that's a good question, but the Gemara answers. The Gemara says basar bebasar michlif, basar beperi lo michlif. Now. Again, remember right now, what are we trying to accomplish with all this training? We're trying to familiarize ourselves, habituate ourselves to what it's going to be like when we're eating carbon. And so now, when I sit down and have meat at the table, so I basically want to get into the habit that anytime I'm having meat, I have to be that cautious about Tumah Tahara. So even though I'm right now having my deer for dinner tonight, but in other words, it's meat. And just to get into the habit of when I'm eating meat, this is how cautious I have to be regarding Tumah Tahara. So therefore, all meat is included. But if we're just talking about Truma, there is no Truma that comes from any kind of meat. Truma is all vegetable. I say vegetable, I mean things that grow from the ground. And it's not animal. And so therefore, the simulation of Truma is limited to just things that grow from the ground and not animals. Okay, Amar Ula. So now Ula says like this, you know, I got together in the yeshiva with my colleagues and we are once again going over our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Chulin in the second perek, right, yesterday's daf, Lama Gimel, and they all said, how could it be that if you touch the animal with your hands, which are a sheni, the animal is going to become tamei, assuming that there is blood in the shechita? And the answer is that everyone said, well, it must be Chulin Shanasa, Taras HaKodesh, and it's not going like Rabbi Yeshua, because again, the simplest way to say Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Yeshua only has Chulin Shanasa, Taras Truma, and not Chulin Shanasa, Taras HaKodesh, so it's not going like Rabbi Yeshua. Good. Va'ana amina Rabbi Yeshua hi. Now, Ula says, but what I would like to do is I would like to propose a inventive way, a creative way of learning that Mishnah and Taharos. And if we learn it the way I'm about to present it right now, we could argue and we could say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshua. Afilu, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, what we're going to have to do is as follows. We're going to have to revisit that Mishnah Taharos that we already learned once this morning. And we're going to give now a creative way to explain that Mishnah. Now, when I say we, I mean Ula. Ula is going to give a creative way to explain it. Lo mi bai kamar. When we said, when at the end of that Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua says, Chulin Shanasa Ataras Truma. So what Rabbi Yeshua meant is it's not just limited to food that is being simulated like Truma. Lomi by Chulin Shanasa Ataras Kodesh de Chamir Disbu Shlishi, Ela Afilu Chulin Shanasa Ataras Truma, Nami Isbuhu Shlishi. What Rabbi Yeshua meant at the very end of the Mishnah is not only Chulin Shanasa Ataras Truma, but also Chulin Shanasa Ataras Kodesh. Why didn't he say that at the end of the Mishnah? It's self-evident. Now, I know when I say self-evident, I pause for just a moment. It's not so self-evident because a lot of Amorayim, in fact, most of the Amorayim we're going to be seeing today, did not understand it this way. But according to Ula, it's self-evident. Look, Kodesh has a heightened level of Kedusha over that of Truma. So when Rabbi Yeshua was saying is that if you eat a... if you eat a shlishi, you're a sheni lekodesh, and you're not a sheni for truma. And he says, then all this is only talking about chulin shenasa ataras truma. He didn't mean only. He meant it's also talking about chulin shenasa ataras truma. goes without saying that if we're talking about simulated Kodesh, of course simulated Kodesh has a heightened level of Kedusha. Simulated Kodesh, meaning the actual Kodesh itself, is a Shlishi. It's a Revi'i. So for there, all these rules apply. But even for simulated Truma, that's the way to understand Rabbi Yehoshua. Even for simulated Truma, we're going to have these levels of enactments of Gzeras. Okay, now, this is Ula's Pshat in the Mishnah. It's a creative Pshat. It's an original Pshat. And the Gemara now is going to note that not everyone is in agreement with Ula and the way he understood the Mishnah. Now, if you understood the Mishnah the way we just presented, the way Ula just presented, now you could say that our Mishnah is going even like Rabbi Yehoshua. Good. So the truth of the matter is that, and I'm going to say this as clearly as possible, the only benefit, I don't want to say the only, the relevant benefit of saying the Pshat in the Mishnah and Taurus the way we just said, the way Ula just said it, is so that our Mishnah, which is an anonymous Mishnah, can be going also like the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. That's it. That's the gain. Now, why is it such an important gain? I'm not sure if I can articulate why that's so important, but at least that's the possible gain. Okay. Now, the Gemara points out, Man Chavre, so who's the Chavra? Meaning, Ula pointed out that my colleagues don't agree with me. So who are the colleagues? Meaning we can identify at least one of the colleagues who clearly do not agree with Ula, and that is Rabbi Bar Bachana, Hida Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana, Amar of Yochanan. So here now we're going to be learning another Amora, Rabbi Bar Bachana, as he's quoting Rav Yochanan, make a mental note, he's quoting Rav Yochanan, that's going to come back a little bit later, and he says, "My Ahadra Rabbi Lazar of Yeshua Lahadade." And now what he's going to do is as follows, he's going to recreate the argument. We know the opinions, meaning we learned the Mishnah Taharos. We know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you are what you eat. If you ate a Rishon, you're a Rishon. If you ate a Sheni, you're a Sheni. If you ate a Shlishi, you're a Shlishi. That's Rabbi Eliezer. And we also know Rabbi Yehoshua. If you eat a Rishon or a Sheni, you're a Sheni. If you eat a Shlishi, so then you're going to be a Sheni Lakodesh. But you're not going to be a Sheni for Truma. And we're talking specifically about Chul and Shenasu Ataros Truma. Good. Those are the opinions. What we really don't know is, what is behind all this? Meaning, why is Rabbi Eliezer taking the position of you are what you eat? Why is Rabbi Yehoshua arguing? Meaning, we don't know any of the background. So what Rabbi Bar Bachana is going to do by citing Rabbi Yochanan is give us the back and forth. He's recreating now the discussion. Now, when I say recreating, it could very well be that this is his Masorah that he had. He's not recreating it. This is the traditions that were passed down to him by Rabbi Yochanan, going back to Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, who are earlier Tanayim. So in other words, they didn't actually converse with one another, but he could very well be that this is just simply the Masorah that he had, that this is the back and forth between them. In any event, Amar la Rabbi Elazar la Rabbi Yehoshua Masino Ochel Chamor Min HaOchel. You know, in general, we find that a consumer can sometimes be greater than the actual source of the Tumah itself, than contact with the Tumah. Meaning, HaOchel, that means the consumer, can sometimes be more stringent than the ochel, than the food itself. When do we find that? So specifically, the ilu nivlas of tahor bechutz lamatame ve'ilu ochla matame begadim abeis abliya. Consider a bird that died without a shechita, a nivlas of tahor. You could touch it, nothing. You could pick it up, nothing. No transmission of tuma. And meanwhile, you take off a piece of the meat of the bird. You eat it. And you now are tummy. So you see over here that there is more tumma in consumption than there is with any contact with the food in of itself. So now, v'anu hechlonasa ochel kamaicha. All I'm doing, says Rabbi Eliezer, is I'm using that as my model, and I'm just toning it down just a little bit. Meaning, if you eat a rishon l'tumma, so I'm not going to promote you. Now, when I say promotion, by the way, there's nowhere to go from Rishon. Meaning, even in the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, the Chachamim are not going to make you an Ava Tuma. And I mean, that's just simply inconceivable. But in other words, I'll tone it down. So in other words, in the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, if you eat a Rishon, you're a Rishon. If you eat a Sheni, you're a Sheni. And I'm modeling that after Nivlas of Tahor. In Nivlas of Tahor, you're touching it and it's nothing, and you eat it and you become Tameh. So you see that the ochel can be more chamer than the ochel. Now, in saying it in the Hebrew, by the way, it's a little bit confusing. So it actually works out a little bit better in English because I could just simply I could define terms better. The consumer is more stringent than the food itself, than the level, the degree of tumah of the food itself. So over here, if I'm eating a Rishon, so again, I'm toning it down just a little bit. This is all according to Rabbi Eliezer. And it's not going to be more stringent than the food, but it should in the very least be the same degree and the same level of the food. Good. What we're looking at are models in tumah that we can now use to make the gzeiros derabanan. That's the basic idea of what the Gemara is exploring over here. Now, Rabbi Yoshua, minivlas of tar, lo gamrina dechidashu. So, and Rabbi Yoshua would just simply shrug his shoulders and say, look, nivlas of tar cannot be used as a model for anything. It is so unique in the realm of halacha. Nowhere else in tumah tahara do you have this phenomena that something is tameh, you touch it, it doesn't transmit tumah, and you eat it and it transmits tumah. It doesn't exist in any other form of tumah tahara. So this represents, even in tumah tahara, a chiddush. And so therefore I cannot use this as a base model to use in order to make and develop gzeiros derabbanans. Elamatzina sham ma'achol chamor mina ochel. Now, what do I typically find? Says, this is now Rabbi Yoshua's counter-argument to Rabbi Eliezer. I typically find that the one who feeds is more stringent than the actual food itself. Dilo Michael bechabetza, meaning the one who's feeding. So that means to say now the one who's touching the tumah. How much of it do you need to touch in order to transmit tumah? So kebetza. You need the amount of food of a kebetza. And meanwhile, the ochel, the consumer, somebody who is eating tumah food, how much does he need to eat in order to become tumah? Ad achel kechatzi pras. Twice the amount of a kebetza, shnei kebetzim. So that means to say now that generally speaking, I find that the one who touches is on a higher degree of tumah than that of the one who actually eats it. Now, mind you over here, and I'm giving away some of the Gemara coming up, you don't really see that's a higher degree of tumah. What you see is that there's more volume necessary to transmit tumah through achila than there is through maga. So you're not really seeing degrees. What you're really seeing is volume. So we shouldn't make the ochel like Michael, meaning that the one who consumes should be in the very least like the one who touches. And Rebbe Lazar's counter-argument is very simple, meaning you didn't prove anything to me about degrees. All you did was just make a notation and you observed how the shiurim are different. Good, I'm with you, the shiurim are different. But so what? That doesn't speak to degrees. We're having a discussion of degrees of tumah. And what do you want to say? You want to say that the consumer should be on a higher level than the actual food itself. So what did you say? You said that if you ate if you ate a sheni, you're going to become a rishon. Okay, good. That works out great. But ata omer sheni sheni lama. But you also said that if you eat a sheni, you're now going to become a sheni. Well, that goes straight across, which for me, that's great, because that's how I view how tumah gets transmitted on a rabbinic level. But you, in other words, if you're going sheni to rishon, you should. How can you now be going from sheni to sheni? So amar lo, so he says back to him, matzina shasheni osa sheni alide mashkin. So he says, well, what do you mean? We do find in other areas of halacha where a sheni can actually make another food a sheni. Where do we find such a thing? Through the medium of liquid. Amalav hamashkin amitchila havu didnan. The medium of liquid, what do you mean? Do you know what? I'm asking the question as if he didn't know. He does know. Do you know what happens when one time a sheni food comes into contact with another sheni food with a medium of liquid? Now, when I say medium of liquid, what I mean is actually something very simple. It means that on the second food, there is some liquid. And as we're about to all learn together, that liquid is going to become a rishon, thereby making the food, that second food, a sheni. Did none, and here we have a mishnah. We've seen this mishnah already numerous times. Kol ha'posel b'truma mitamei mashkin, lios tchila. Anything which is opposed by truma, which is code for saying sheni. Anything which is a sheni l'tumah, which comes into contact with mashkin, is going to make that mashkin a rishon l'tumah. Now, of course, this operates on a Darabon level. This is not Daraisa. Daraisa, everything drops down a level. But when it comes to mashkin, when it comes to liquid, it goes up a level as a safeguard mid Darabonon. So Leos Mashkin, Leos Tchila. Mechutz mitzvul yom, with one notable exception, that of course is a tvul yom. A tvul yom is somebody who was tameh, tovel in the mikvah, waiting for Harav Shemesh. That period of time between toveling in the mikvah and Harav Shemesh, he has just but a residual amount of tuma. It's not even, meaning generally speaking in halacha, we refer to it as a shina l'tuma, but it's even a faded form of a shina l'tuma. It's not even enough to trigger this tuma derabanan, where if this person were to touch liquid, the liquid would become a rishon. Okay, but put that aside right now. That's just simply the exception. But the basic rule is that whenever you have a sheni in general coming into contact with a liquid, that liquid becomes a rishon. So Rabbi Yeshua says now back, I'm sorry, Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, what is your argument? You know why a sheni eating, a person who ate sheni food should become a sheni? Because we find that in foods, a sheni should make a sheni can make another food a sheni. And the counter argument to that is, well, you're not right. Meaning the only reason why a sheni makes another food a sheni is because of the liquid medium. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens with that liquid? That liquid becomes a rishon. If anything, if you're going to use this as your base model, so then if you're eating a sheni food, you should become a rishon just like the liquid. And furthermore, va'od shlishi sheni lama. So the and you also said that a shlishi, now if you eat food which is on a shlishi level, you become a sheni. Now I'm lost right now. What is that? Why are you becoming a sheni? So Amar lo, so Rabbi Yeshua says in response, and here now is the kicker. Meaning this is now the part that we want right at this point in time. Because remember now, because we could get a little bit lost in this particular forest. The whole point of us recreating the dialogue between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer is because in this particular recreation that was put together right by Rabbi Bar Bachana, who quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to see clearly over here that his understanding is that when Rabbi Yeshua's positions of all these different safeguard tumas is only specific to Chulin Shinas Altaris Truma, simulated Truma, not simulated Kodesh. I know all that because of this line coming up right now. V'o shlishi sheni lama. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yeshua says back to Rabbi Eliezer, afani lo amarti ela b'truma, shetaharasa tuma eitzel, tumahi eitzel HaKodesh. I only said it regarding Truma, because Truma is in a category all of itself. In fact, Truma is in such a category in of itself. If let's say you are simulating Truma, so you say to yourself, I'm really Tahor. I'm in a state of Tahara. I'm treating myself as if I am Tahor Lagabi Truma. Lagabi Kodesh, you're nothing. In other words, you're not good enough Lagabi Kodesh. You are Tame Lagabi Kodesh. Rashi over here goes through the numerous gemaras that we find in Chagiga describing the scenario that if you're only safeguarding yourself for one degree, one level of tahara, you're only capped at that level of tahara. If you're safeguarding for truma, so vis-a-vis kodesh, you're nothing. You're simply not tahara legabi kodesh. So Rabbi Yoshua at the tail end of this says, I'm only saying this vis-a-vis truma, shetahara sa. Tumahi Eitzel HaKodesh. It's nothing regarding Kodesh. Clearly over here in this last exchange that existed between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Yeshua says, look, don't challenge me because I'm only saying this regarding Truma, not regarding Kodesh. Clearly the indication that we get is that Rabbi Yeshua only meant it by Truma and not by Kodesh. And now as we go full circle, we go back to the whole beginning of the Sugya. So now Ula said, I have a creative way of understanding the Mishnah Taharos. Clearly, Rabbi Bar Bachana did not understand it with that level of creativity. Meaning, he understood specifically that when Rabbi Yoshua was talking about Truma, or I should say better, simulated Truma, Chulin Shenas Altaris Truma, he meant only simulated Truma and not simulated Kodesh. And that does not go like Ula. And so therefore, again, what do we get from all this? That according to Rabbi Bar Bachana, our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yoshua. It's only going like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, good. Continuing now in the Gemara in Lamed Dalam Ad Beis Amar, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Now over here, a memra that was said by the Amoraim. And again, note right now that one of this particular Mesorah is Rav Yochanan. Hold that thought for just a moment. Ha'ochel shlishi shechun shenasa al taras hakodesh. A person who eats shlishi, of chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh, nasa gufo sheni lakodesh. You become a sheni. So you eat, again, you are now trying to simulate kodesh, and you ate shlishi, meaning you should have obviously been more careful. You ate a shlishi lotama. So you now are going to become a sheni. Now, to right, Shein Lakodesh. Now, Esvei, Rabbi Zera LaRav Asi, Shlishi Shein Lakodesh Vein Shein LaTruma B'chun Shenasa Taras Truma. So, let's go back to that Mishnah in Taharos. I told you, most of today's daf is revolving on that Mishnah. That Mishnah taught us that Shlishi Shein Lakodesh Vein Shein LaTruma B'chun Shenasa Taras Truma Al Taras Truma In Al Taras Kodesh Lo. So he says that position of Rabbi Yoshua is only limited to simulated truma, not to simulated kodesh. And how can you tell me, and oh, by the way, you're telling it to me in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, how can you tell me that even by simulated kodesh, a shlishi is a sheni? So amrele lo mi bai kamar. So he says, yeah, but you know how to read the Mishnah in Taharos? The Mishnah in Taharos was working with the style of lo mi bai kamar, meaning, when he said simulated truma, he didn't mean only simulated truma. He meant even simulated truma. But for sure, also, it's going to be true by simulated kodesh as well. V'ha af ani lo amarti ela b'truma kamar. Yeah, but what about the dialogue that we had earlier? Meaning that whole recreation of the machlokus of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua that was given to us by Rabbi Bar Chana. Where at the tail end of that discussion, Rabbi Yoshua says back to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm only talking about Truma, right? Chulin Shenasa Al Taras Truma. I'm not talking about Chulin Shenasa Al Taras Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Amarai Niu V'Aliba De Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, that's a Machlokas Amaraim, Aliba De Rabbi Yochanan, meaning we have two different reports by Rabbi Yochanan. One report by Rabbi Yochanan, given to us by Rabbi Bar Chana, is that Rabbi Yochanan is, sorry, Rabbi Yoshua is only limited to Chulin Shenasa Al Taras HaTruma. The Chachamim made no special safeguards regarding Chulin Shenasa Al Taras HaKodesh. And again, I go back to a point that I made earlier this morning. Why would the Chachamim make these special gzeres by only simulated Truma, not by simulated Kodesh? I offered something earlier this morning in terms of why. But that's one way to understand the Mishnah and Taharos that Rabbi Yoshua meant only simulated Truma. Masha Enkin, according to this version of Rabbi Yochanan, given to us by Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Asi, given to us by Rabbi Zera, given to us by Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Asi, their understanding is that that Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yoshua is that it is even simulated Truma. Which means, of course, all these gzeros apply to simulated Kodesh as well, but even for simulated Truma, which is just a little bit lower in Kedusha, nevertheless, all these safeguards are implemented and applied. Okay. Admittedly, that was a lot. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the next piece of Gemara. Just quickly recap. What we had today is another approach to how to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if I shechted an animal and there was no blood that came out, so the animal is kosher, and as a bonus, you can touch it with your sheni hands, which implies clearly that if the blood did come out and it was machshir the animal of kapha tuma, I can't be eating with my sheni hands. The question that we dealt with both yesterday and today is even if your hands are a sheni and so what? So yesterday we gave a couple of different approaches. Today we gave one approach, and that is that we are talking about chulin, but it's chulin shenasa al taharas hakodesh. But this answer only works within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, not within the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. But even as I say that very clearly and very definitively, not all Amoraim agree. Some Amoraim are of the opinion that Rabbi Yoshua also includes Chulin Shenasa Al Taras HaKodesh, although that's not the simple reading of the Mishnah in Taharos.